This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So many of you are on the text line right now giving your Houston sports, I would walk to this place if this situation happens in honor of Paul Pierce being so dumb as to say that he would walk to work 15 miles. Shoeless in his robe.
That could have been a good question of the day.
That really could have been.
Yeah.
But somebody said that they would walk. Oh, that's actually Ocho. It's not somebody. It's specifically Ocho saying, I would walk barefoot if Jordan's IR stint isn't extended beyond the 10 days.
That's a good one.
That's why it was on buy or sell.
So there's that.
Oh, I didn't answer that one. I bought it, I think. But
you did.
Yeah, but I think there's certainly reason to wonder.
And then from the 972, they said they will walk to work from Houston to Dallas, or walk rather from Houston to Dallas and back barefoot if the Jags sweep the Texans. And the total score differential is 300.
See,
at this point,
well, okay,
we're,
come on,
we're doing that thing with the stats.
Yeah.
We're 300.
Like, on a Monday
you
when it's 87
Me too.
Degrees.
I'll join you.
And the wind is blowing in from the east.
Yeah. So they could get swept, but if that 300 ain't hit, then you good.
Yeah.
But I get it. Sometimes you want to add some contingencies and keep yourself safe. I respect
that. That would be crazy if that happened.
They lose by 300.
Oh, I'd be sick. Wait, which is worse? If it's two games where the point differential is 150, or if it's just one game where somehow they put up an ungodly, where they just monstarred you? You know what I mean? Like, you remember Space Jam where the Monstars
I'll
had
tell you
the,
what, 150 is monstarring you.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That is fair. Touche. I will retract that question. All right. College sports is in a very interesting place right this moment, literally this week, as we're trying to see if the house settlement that is there, you know, the kind of the law class action lawsuit that's happened when it comes to the NCAA and the athletes that are participating in the NCAA to try and receive like revenue share portions of the revenue generated by these school programs is being situated and figured out. And seeing if it is being approved to go into effect for this season. As that's happening, President Donald Trump, who has been very active with his executive orders in this portion of his second term, it seems like he is going to step in and kind of do something to help, or at least that he's trying to help with what is happening with NIL. And this seems to be have come at the behest of a couple of college football, I guess, dignitaries, for lack of a better term. Nick Saban, obviously former head coach at Alabama and LSU and other places as well. And then also Tommy Tuberville, who's been in politics recently, but he's been a head coach at damn near everywhere, if we're going to be honest. Both of those guys, or at least Nick Saban, had seemingly talked to Trump when he was at a speech at Alabama and Saban introduced him. And at some point, it seems like there was some level of lobby. I can't speak specifically to it as to, hey, man, this NIL thing is the wild, wild west. Can you do something about it? Which, honestly, the NCAA has done asking of Congress as well, generally, because the NCAA itself has not been able to get this done. And, you know, the conferences have not been able to get this done because it's all over the place with different state, state.
Each state has their own rules.
Correct.
Whatever.
Correct. Yeah. I appreciate that. And so, as of right now, what it looks like is in play for President Donald Trump to do is the interest that he has in forming a commission to examine the long list of issues facing college sports. And obviously, one of the big ones is compensation via name, image, and likeness deals that are really just kind of not actually these deals, but really they're just kind of pay for play as they've been situated. Now, one of those is, I think Nick Saban is expected to be a co-chair along with, leave Cody Campbell, who is the Board of Regents chairman of Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. But I'm very intrigued by this because, one, there's already something, as I mentioned, the house settlement that's going into place to mm-hmm. try and establish a revenue share for players to basically put them in a, like, pseudo-employment space, but at least get some level of benefit in the actual revenue generated, not this secondary stuff,
yeah.
NIL on that's on the outside. But also, like, I'd be interested to see who's all involved in this, because right now the people that seems like are involved is Nick Saban, mm-hmm. right, in this commission, who is a former coach, and then a Board of Regents who I guess would kind of represent a team.
Yeah.
There's no players involved in this, and they would be heavily invested. Like, I just am very intrigued as to what this commission could look like and what they might be able to do in this space.
There's a lot to this right here.
A ton.
And I'll keep it very simple and maybe too rudimentary here.
Oh, it's going to have to be. There's no way to have this conversation and that's not like an hour long
right.
at best.
I think Nick Saban is the commissioner of college football, in essence. He's the guy that's been most vocal about NIL and the Wild West and all that. He's even used that term. He's the guy that has been, obviously a legendary figure, vocal also about, all the things that need to change. And lo and behold, he's the guy that's going to be the face of this commission or whatever. I think the NCAA, number one, which was dying anyway, is pretty much dead now because this commission is going to be able to tell them what to do with their money. At its core, that's what they're doing.
I don't think that that's actually how this is going to work. Typically, when it comes to a commission, like, they will put together some recommendations.
Right.
And I don't know that that is going to be a direct authority over the NCAA on how they operate. But it seems like the NCAA would absolutely love some level of guidance, at least when it comes to legislation that would help litigate it away from what they can do, especially since they don't have any subpoena power or anything to that nature.
I think the NCAA is going to do exactly what the commissioner of the commission says for that reason, because that they want this regulated as well. So Saban's going to come in with the committee, with the commission, and sort of standardize the NIL. The NCAA is not going to say nah. No, I mean they're going to do what they recommend here, within reason, obviously. But I think they're going to be very compliant with what the recommendation is here. And I think what they're looking for is basically, kind of caps, tiers, if you will, of what teams can spend and how they can spend it, accountability of where the money's coming from. And how it's being paid and it's actually being earned in terms of, they don't want the Wild West aspect of, UT, University of Texas has got a $40 million budget and, whatever, another BYU, let's say, has a $10 million budget. They want to standardize everything. No, I think very much so. I think very much this is Nick Saban as the commissioner of the NCAA now, and they're going to do what he says.
Well, I don't know that.
And I don't think it's bad necessarily.
Well, I don't think it's going to be nearly as effective as the hope is when you have something like this. Now, it is worth noting, right? There was a commission on Olympic sports under President Gerald Ford in 75 rather, that led 1975 is what I was thinking that got me to 97. 1975 that led to the Amateur Sports Act of 78 that led to reform and helped boost, United States performance in Olympic Games thereafter. But I think that's a lot easier to handle because you start talking about, well, first, let me step back. I'd be super interested to see what a commission that comes together, depending on who they put together, what they view as the actual issue with NIL. Because that's one of the things, a lot of people are like, yo, NIL's out here, but people don't like it for different reasons.
Yeah.
Some of the people are like, well, some schools can, spend more money and there's not even. And some people, let's be honest, don't like the idea that these dudes are getting money and women in some of these instances as well are getting money in their pockets at all. I'd be very interested to see what the general consensus is of the issue with NIL. But also, I want to again make it clear, when it comes to the House settlement, House versus NCAA, that one is more about the revenue of the programs. NIL is basically booster money at this point.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
What was the last time there was a cap on booster money, Lopez?
Never.
Well, no, there actually has been because it's supposed to be at zero, right? Like the idea.
But never realistically.
And that's what I'm saying, right? So all of a sudden, these people in college sports who historically have been cool with sliding this money under the table. Hey, you came from a school that did it like some of the best in the world, right? With Texas A&M, right? And I say that not with any level of judgment, just an acknowledgement of what it is, man. U of H was out here handing out envelopes in them locker rooms at times, what have you. Boosters in this college sports space, like, they want that, like, that money it's put into the program is something that they want to do. It makes them happy. It gives them some level of investment in the program.
Mm-hmm.
The government coming through and saying, well, actually, y'all can only spend X amount of dollars. When has that ever stopped the booster class? Like, we just go to a different level of bagman. So I think some of the idea of a cap on an NIL severely under, like, with not underestimates, but just disregards the history of this sport
what
and
they
how
are.
It works.
Yeah. No, I don't think, first of all, I don't think the NIL is going to go away by any stretch.
Sure.
You know, there is going to be pay for play, and there should be. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that, or most of us. I think there's going to be a cap, some sort of tiers on these schools versus these schools, et cetera, can spend that much. But you are right. I think there's still going to be some loopholes that everybody's going to try to get through and exploit. But ultimately, you can also ask this question, speaking of so many different levels. Why is the government doing this? Why are they doing this? It's not their deal. It's the NCAA. It's their deal.
Well,
you know,
the one place in the settlement why you could say they're doing this is because there was a lawsuit that spoke to this.
Mm-hmm.
Why Donald Trump is doing this, mm-hmm. and this is where we operate into a space where I want to make it clear I'm operating from an apolitical place, just speaking on this thing that this political thing that has to do with sports.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, there's some people that he respects, and Nick Saban, Tommy
mm-hmm.
Tuberville,
mm-hmm.
that have some investment in this going this way. And it's an opportunity for him to get in here and get a win. And I'm not saying that he does not care. He cares about sports quite a bit, clearly. Like, we know his history with the USFL and wanting to buy into the NFL. Like, sports is something he cares about. And he cares about these people in sports who care about this. And that's why he's stepping into this space. I don't know that he is stepping into this space with an understanding of even how to answer this question.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who does not think this is an easy thing to answer.
Yeah. No. And how do they? You know, is there going to be a hard number? You know, for Power Five schools versus others or whatever it may be. And then, as you pointed out, cheaters still going to cheat. You know, they're still going to cheat.
Yeah, because, and I think there was a fantastic conversation with Spencer Hall, who was a fantastic college football writer, and Bomani Jones, where they were talking about this. And it's like, you have to remember that the money that gets paid by these boosters, it's not about revenue. It's not about, like, what they're going to get out of this monetarily. They put this money in because they want to have an ownership of this of the program,
mm-hmm.
and they want to feel like this means something to them when it comes to the investment in their school, mm-hmm. or like seeing that program flourish. And you're not going to change that by putting some level of cap on it.
But don't you also agree that there should be some sort of equity, if not coming from this commission, from the NCAA, in terms of what you can spend, just for balance?
I mean, that feels very anti-free market now, doesn't it?
They do it in the NFL.
But the reason why they're able to do that is because it is a legalized cartel, right? Like, there's this kind of exemption.
So is NCAA football.
And I think it would need to be more significantly more organized, because those things are like a closed environment. The NCAA is way too open. So, like, you would need to make college football is unfair because there's other sports that are affected by this, and I want to remember that. But you would then take college sports and you need to make it more of a closed environment. Mm-hmm. And that's an entire change to what's happening here. And I think that goes beyond a singular commission.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess ultimately my thing is, this is so unwieldy of an issue. And I think it's admirable that people want to find answers to it. I just think people are kind of actually thinking a little too small on how big this issue is.
And I don't know if they can.
Yeah. All right. That is just a small foray into what I imagine is going to be a wild, continuous wild topic that unfurls. But it is interesting that at least there is some level of attempt into this. I'm very intrigued to see the stumbling blocks that come along the way. But anyways, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig hanging out with you. And speaking of Figgy Fig, this is about the time where we hand things over to him for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so a legend out here wilding and being nasty, and we got to take him to In the Loop Court. So I'm making the OG John Lopez the judge of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we going to go through all the evidence.
All right. Honorable Judge John Lopez is in court. We'll do that next.
Yes, it is Figgy's mixtape In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. So a little news about Lopez legend, Lopez guy. He ain't never canceling.
Yep.
No matter what he do.
Mm-hmm.
A complaint was filed in Los Angeles Superior Court accuses the 85-year-old Smokey Robinson.
Innocent. As your man.
Innocent.
As your friend. As your best friend. Your buddy. The guy you do everything with.
As your guy, bro.
A sexual battery, false imprisonment, negligence. Gender violence.
See, that's how you know Figgy is a good person. He don't even know what negligence is. What are you talking about?
I heard it a couple times. But
wait, hold on. What you trying to tell us here?
Nah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
All right.
I plead the fifth. So, yeah, he got a lot going on here, man. Number of labor violations related to wages, breaks, meal times, and overtime pay.
Mm-hmm.
So here's NBC News with the story.
Okay. Four women are making some disturbing new allegations against a Motown legend in a lawsuit filed today against Smokey Robinson. The women who used to work for him say he sexually assaulted them and created a hostile work environment, among other things. Robinson's wife is also named in the lawsuit. It details multiple allegations, some as recent as last year. One employee says Robinson sexually assaulted her at least 23 times. Another says Robinson's, quote, brutal sexual advances were constant and even predictable while she worked for him. His accusers are seeking at least $50 million. NBC News has reached out to Robinson's reps for comment. No word back yet.
Yeah, so it's getting pretty serious, man.
It sounds it.
And the first thing I thought about, so you know whenever somebody get in a situation like this,
mm-hmm.
we kind of pocket watch a little bit. We kind of look at their brands like, oh, when Deshaun Watson got caught mm-hmm. up and all that stuff. Hey, Gatorade, what Gatorade going to do?
Yeah.
What Beats by Dre going to do?
Yeah.
I was kind of hating a little bit on this because I mentioned yesterday how I listened to a lot of SiriusXM radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I forgot you got that wealth.
Yeah, I'm the one person that listened to it. I'm the 2% that listened to it. But I listened to a station on there. So it's a Soul Town station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Smokey Soul Town.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
This is my personal opinion.
Why does that feel like Guy Fieri's burger, like on the cruise ships?
My personal opinion, I feel like the station kind of went down when they branded it all around Smokey Robinson.
Mm, okay.
Like they play a lot of the same stuff. They don't really play a lot of good songs now. So I'm wondering. I'm like, are they gonna scratch the imaging off of that?
Yeah,
because it don't look too good.
It ain't a great look.
Yeah, yeah. So anywho. I feel like we need to kind of take him to in the loop court, man, because
okay.
I felt like he's going through a lot of stuff right now, like with the lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if we've seen this coming, man.
Okay.
I wonder if we've seen this coming because he's been showing a lot of weird, perverted stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to take him to court. I'm going to have John Lopez be the judge of this, and I'm going to present evidence.
Okay, I want to hear some of this evidence because right now it's just hearsay.
Yeah, just hearsay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so I want to start with this. He put out an album
mm-hmm.
called Gasms.
I'm sorry, what? Gasms?
He put out an album called Gasms.
Well, it ain't looking great for him so far.
That's right.
Yeah.
How long ago? That was like a year or two ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I think because I checked his albums on Tidal,
mm-hmm.
and that was the second newest one. Mm-hmm. He released something after Gasms.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through this track list. I want to see if there's a couple red flags in here, all right? The first track on here is called Gasms.
That makes sense. It's the title of the album. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second track, How You Make Me Feel.
How You Make Me Feel, okay.
There's a possibility.
Yeah, not too bad. It sounds like an R&B song or something like that.
Yeah.
The third one, I Want to Know Your Body.
Oh, okay. No. All right, Smokey.
No, Smokey, don't.
The fourth track. I keep calling you.
I want to know your body. I keep calling you.
Yeah, it could easily be like I keep calling you or I keep calling you.
Keep calling you.
Oh, I hadn't even considered the aggressive.
Yeah.
The fifth track is Roll Around.
Roll Around. No, that's okay. Yeah, that's all right.
The sixth track, Besides.
That's still pretty innocuous there, yeah.
Yep. This will start getting a little iffy right here.
Oh, no.
Number seven.
Starts getting a little iffy?
Yeah. If we don't have each other.
Yeah. If we don't have each other's kind of, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because what is the implication?
If we don't or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Number eight, You Fill Me Up.
You Fill Me Up.
All right.
And number nine, to top it off,
mm-hmm.
I fit in there.
I fit in there.
Okay.
That's the name of the track.
That's crazy, bro.
All right, so John Lopez, how you feel about evidence number one?
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of his music. And that's how I feel.
This
about
album,
the,
huh?
Not this album.
Okay.
Not this album, but I'm a big fan of his music. I'll put it that way, how I feel.
Okay. Okay, so I'm glad you said you're a big fan of his music, okay, because I got a couple
it's
of these
get worse,
songs.
Isn't it?
I got some of these songs from this album called Gasms. And
you just keep saying that, huh?
Yeah. This is the first song. So here's Smokey Robinson, little piece of Gasms.
I Gasms.
Okay.
When I look at you, it makes me feel better than good.
Hey.
Smokey. What I see.
It's your man's.
No.
I actually don't like the song itself.
All right, that's probably enough.
That might be too much.
Yeah, it's going in the wrong, it's trending in the wrong direction so far.
The lyrics are bad.
Yeah.
Like, let's just start there.
Yeah.
The lyrics are bad. Mm-hmm. But also on top of it, I think the instrumentation is not very good, which I was about to say something bad.
Yeah.
I'm not more offended by that, but I'm fairly offended by the fact that that is not, like, the song is does not feel like it stands up to the level of what you would expect from
Smokey. Yeah, you can't even play the instrumental.
No, you can't.
The instrumental, I'd rather listen to an elevator instrumental.
Yeah.
So here's the another song on this album called I Fit In There.
Oh, this is I Fit In There. Oh, Lord.
If deep down inside you're hoping to fill up an opening.
He really just became a creepy old man.
This is bad. Oh, God.
That sounds like an SNL.
Uh-huh.
You know
it
I mean?
Does.
Like, it's just so on the nose.
Yeah.
How you feeling so far, man?
It's getting worse.
About your buddy?
It's getting worse.
You feel like you can make a judgment now, or you still need more evidence?
I probably could, but I want to hear some
All right,
more.
Let's hear one more. Let's cap it off with this. Yeah. Smokey Robinson, I keep calling you.
Wherever we might be, simple things like touching in public.
What? Bro!
Simple things like what?
You're going to make me say this?
What did he say? I missed that.
You want to play it again?
Simple things like touching in public.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Smokey, what is wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
This is your legend, man.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a really tough decision.
I like his old
man.
Stuff. Let me put it in the, I'm changing my mind. I like his old stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to make sure that
I'm glad you said some old stuff, man.
Yeah. Because oh, no.
I got a classic right here.
I know
here.
Where he's I'm going.
This is with the Miracles?
Nope. Nah, he probably wish he had a miracle right here. So, this is one of his classic songs, man. He actually shot a video for this, and it was all for a good cause right here.
All
right. Here's Smokey Robinson.
All right, he's going to redeem himself.
Smokey Robinson, gang bang.
Oh, wait.
Here we go. You got to sing it with me, Reggie. Come on. Wasting your time, drinking that wine,
smoking that smoke, doing that coke.
Wow.
Dealing that dope.
Come on, Reggie, we got to do it. Come on.
You got to hit the hook. Got to hit the hook.
Game banging.
There we go.
Game banging.
Yeah.
Yeah, the musical touch has been gone for a
while. It has been gone for a while. The man is 85. But, you know, here's where you
it's kind of going out sad, though, man.
Oh, very
Because
much.
You still got some legends in the game that still create some bangers, man. You got Charlie Wilson. He's still doing his thing.
But this is like when.
This is sad.
When this local news reporter shows up and asks the neighbor, did you ever see any signs that this might happen?
That's true. That's the signs were there.
That's where I'm getting at.
Did
where
I ever see
attention?
Any signs?
Yeah.
Because, look, I ain't going to lie, man. Maybe I'm part of the problem, but when he released that song, Gang Banging, we was laughing at it.
Yeah.
We was joking around with it. And then he released the track list for this album, Gasms.
Yeah.
We was kind of laughing at it,
like,
too.
What is he doing? He's not even hiding it anymore.
I'm like, man, this old man, we seen a couple videos in concert. He was being a freaky old man.
Yeah. He's not even hiding it anymore.
He's not hiding.
I fit in there.
All right. I don't think you have to keep saying it.
Hey, just the gasms was. I'm like, all right, what you doing, old man?
Yeah.
All right, Lopez, I need you to make a decision, man. Yeah, how you feel about your best friend right now?
I thought I'd feel bad about this, but I really don't feel so bad anymore. Guilty.
All
guilty.
Okay.
Yeah. That was tough,
that
man.
That was tough.
That was tough to do, man. All right, let's. All right. Oh, Joy Taylor, man.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, speaking of craziness, we got to talk about a little Joy Taylor. So she was on a podcast not too long ago, and she was actually on the podcast with Paul Pierce.
Okay.
And somebody else, I forgot who the other girl was, but they asked her about her non-negotiables in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what she had to say.
What are some of your non-negotiables?
For relationships?
Yeah, for relationships.
I can't do. That's not my thing.
What do you mean?
You can't have no friends.
Oh, no. Of course, friends. Friends and friends are not the same thing.
Like, what do you mean?
I can't do the whole, like, just, you know, like.
She can't do B words.
Oh.
So women.
Okay.
Oh. So guys with women.
Yeah. I was like, what is this word?
Yeah, she can't do women.
Yeah.
Like, some men have, and I can't do it. I'm not, like. If you, I can't do. Right. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. I can't do.
Yeah. What else is non-negotiable for you?
I'm less and less interested in religious men. If I'm being honest with you, you hit me with the man of God thing. I've had some negative experiences with people that lead with their
religion.
Okay. I was raised in a Baptist church, very very religious family. I don't think that just because you're a Christian that you are, you know, not living a good life. I'm just saying, if that's the first thing that you bring to the table, it's a red flag for me because
you feel like
I don't
they're
care.
Hiding behind their
I
religion.
Don't care. Why? What
something
does this
happened
to me?
With that before. That's what that happened.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is this a red flag?
What, her?
Yeah, no. Do you feel like her non-negotiables? Is that a red flag?
I think
you?
It has to do with your personal experiences, like she said. Like maybe, you know, you've been burned by something like that.
I think this entire mixtape is an exercise in context
because
you brought up Joy Taylor and I immediately went to like, where is that particular lawsuit at? Right. And so you have that and then you bring this along with the non-negotiables. And I'm like, OK, see, I feel like I might not react the same way I did listening to that.
Yeah.
Now, if I was not thinking about the fact that, you know, there was that one thing that was out there when it came to the workplace romance.
Yeah.
Now, she said for a guy, she can't do a guy with a lot of women.
Mm hmm.
So she says she can't do that. Also,
see, that feels reasonable,
this,
though.
Yeah, this is not in the clip, but she says she can date a 25-year-old.
She would?
She would.
Yeah.
And she's, I want to say she's like 38.
She would also date her boss.
Allegedly, I think.
Allegedly,
I guess. Yeah.
I think that's how that litigation goes.
Yeah.
Whew, okay. More power. My thought also was, just did we think it was a good idea doing this podcast in general with all things considered?
Right. And then that topic in particular.
Like what happened to laying low? You know what I mean? Like what happened to laying low? I felt like there was a time where something had happened and you're like, you know what we're going to do right now?
Mm-hmm.
Lay low.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of laying low, Shannon Sharp is not laying low at all.
What is he doing? Why are all these people
doing
this?
He is still
this?
Doing his podcast.
Oh.
Like nothing
okay.
happened.
Okay.
And to be fair, that's his. It's not part of ESPN. He's not on ESPN. But he's still doing Club Shay Shay, I want to say. He's still doing the Nightcap with Ocho Cinco.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's just moving on like Tony Busby ain't around, buzzing in his ear. So, I guess this is the new wave. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joy Taylor, if she, I guess, I don't want to say get fired from FS1, but if they move on, she gonna get in some type of podcast space.
It would seem like
an uncut type of podcast. Mm-hmm.
That's
her space right there. That type of stuff, I could see her getting some type of fat deal with that and just moving on and dressing how she want to dress.
Oh wow!
No, for real.
Showing up to work however she likes.
She know what the people want.
I mean,
at this point.
Also, isn't that a benefit of having a less buttoned up job? Is just being able to show up how you want to.
Exactly. I'm actually shy. She's showing up to FS1 like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still, she's not long for that, is she?
I mean, I don't see. I don't. think necessarily she wouldn't be. Although, to be fair, mm-hmm. old boy that she was working around with.
He's not there no
He's
more.
No longer at FS1. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think that that makes sense to some degree. Like, it feels like he was utilizing the power dynamics there. And typically, that feels like the place where you go, hey, buddy, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
There. Man, that was a... Someone said OnlyFans. Okay, guys. And then from the 832, tell Joy to holla at Smokey. All right.
Real quick, before we get out of here, we like Stephen A. Smith acting, right?
Sure.
Yes.
He was in General Hospital. Tonight, he will be on Law and Order.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he will be on I want to say it's the original Law and Order. It's not SVU or anything. Yeah, yeah. But original Law and Order, and he will be playing a no-nonsense sports agent named Ted Hunter.
Ted Hunter. Okay, I might.
I got a hunch he'll pull that off.
Yeah, I seen that. A quick little picture of it. Mm-hmm. Looked like he wearing the same damn suit he wearing on the first take. I respect it, though, but he going to be a sports agent.
All right.
I might have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at this point, it's tough because Law and Order, I don't really love procedurals, but I did say that I want to watch Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe.
You'll like it. I'm not a Law and Order guy, but I'm sure it'll be
good. This will be good. It got to be really bad if he screw up Law and Order.
Yeah, that is fair. All right. Okay, guys, calm down. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it over to the fellas of the drive, Clinton Ron. We'll do that next. Yeah, appreciate you hanging out with us all Thursday long here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. And Figgy, you got there people that are not all that pleased with you.
Wasting your time.
Yeah, you got some
drinking that wine
stuck in some people's heads with that mixtape.
Gang banging.
Unbelievable. Can you give me Nick Caserio here, if you don't mind? And I specifically wanted to kind of get to Ariante Ursary, because Nick yesterday, when he was on with Payne and Pendergast, was talking about, you know, the same thing that we heard about Tay from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, mm-hmm. about, you know, playing tackle rather than guard. But I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was like, is this as absolute as it seems? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we looked at that and we're like, all right, cool. That is our answer when it comes to the possibility of moving Ariante Ursary into guard. But, when it comes to the rookie big fella, this is 9 here, the rookie big fella, is it possible to try him out at guard or not, is what they asked him.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, Seth. I think the first 2-3 weeks, you should have an understanding of, A, how it's going and whatever position that player is playing. I think one of the things you always have to be conscious of, you never want to put the player in a position that's not favorable to him. If you're asking a player to do something that he's never done before, where's that sort of line of demarcation of when you, A, introduce it, and then, B, how much work can you actually get done? You have to take the player. It's always case by case. Some can handle a little bit more than others, but you just want to make sure you're not putting the player in a position that's not favorable to them, where they really can't accentuate their strengths and do what they do well. So I would say in Tay's case, and D'Amico mentioned this the other day, Tay's a tackle, really, until he's not. So I think the focus initially will be on tackle, and then we'll see kind of how we mix and match the rest of the group. Could that change? Possibly. I think the one thing you always have to be prepared for is just about anything. So sometimes you're forced to maybe make some decisions because you injuries or whatever else happens around you. But you want to be smart, and you want to make sure you're making a good decision on behalf of the player.
So I know I heard that, you know, that possibly immediately going into him talking about if you are forced to with injury. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so what he's saying is he's a tackle unless you absolutely need
to.
But is that?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so you're thinking what I'm thinking here then.
Forced to, as in, hey now, it's not what we thought it was on the interior. And certainly could be in play, right? Like if some of these guys underperform, and not just because of injuries, or you get a better performance at left tackle than you thought, and you feel like it could be a better fit inside, there's a number of different ways that it could go that way.
Yeah, and I think... I still, obviously, what Nick Caserio is trying to get out there is still going to land in so much as there's only so much time that you get, especially with a rookie in this offseason, mm-hmm. with the limited time that, you know, has been negotiated through the CBA. I get that, right? And you've got a guy coming in, and you want to have him get up to speed just on the, you know,
one thing, learn one thing
to begin with.
Yeah,
but it feels like also there's still within there a little bit of wiggle room that if he gets in there and they feel comfortable and they're like, hey, he's picking up stuff, let's try him in there, that might be a possibility. And I still, for some reason, can't shake the idea of the size that he brings.
And where he could fit with that size.
And the idea of...
He could fit in there.
All right, Smokey Lopez.
I immediately regret having this conversation.
I see why y'all best friends.
That's right. You and your boy Smokey as your mans. That is wild. What was I talking about?
It just came up in the conversation.
But I bet
fit,
it did.
He could fit in there at guard. You know, a better fit in there at guard with than some of the guys that. Because here's the thing, they're confident in what they've brought in. They brought him in. You know, they feel like it's going to work. Whether you know any of those 17 guys that are going to be on the offensive line.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
They're confident in it. But it's certainly possible, and it happened last year, where some of these players just do not work.
All right. So do you? What are you?
So
doing
do
right now?
So do they move? So do they move him in there? And that was an accident, by the way. Do they move him in there to make the most of the talent that they think they have?
The question I was going to ask is, who's more likely to play meaningful snaps at guard this season? Ariante Ursary or Ladarius Henderson?
Ooh, I would. You know what? Based on this week, I'm going to say Ladarius Henderson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that then in my mind would make. With
Ursary.
The wiggle room that I'm hearing in there with Nick Caserio's comments on with Payne and Pendergast is probably still smaller than like the love that's been developed for Henderson, who has played guard, right? He's just had his injury issues that he's dealing with, that he might be more likely to play in there, at least the way that you're looking at it.
At least what we're hearing now. And you do have to realize every rookie they're going to try to, as we mentioned, he's a tackle. Try to play him at tackle. Learn that and then move on. But what I'm saying is if things don't work out elsewhere, they might like his talent inside.
Yeah, but I mean, they have so many guys when you talk about inside at guard. I don't know how many of them that I love, what they bring, but they do have so many guys that it feels like it would be a far stretch that like all those guys don't work to the point where they're like, now we need to, at what I imagine would be a late juncture to figure out that all these guys don't work, move Ariante Ursary in. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to see how you felt about that. We continue to see what this team looks like. Tomorrow is when rookie camp starts.
Well, availability. I think they're out there right now, right?
Yeah.
Or today?
Well, no, the 9th is when.
Ninth is the start?
Yeah, when they start. So excited to see what we learn from that. And obviously, I think Caserio was talking about it just kind of being them picking up stuff, getting them up to speed in some degrees just with, you know, being pros in Texas here. With the Texans, but beyond that, I'd be interested to see what we can glean from day one of those fellas being at work. Because I mean, I believe that they are all in town, but like getting them to actual work, can't wait to see.
Well, keep in mind, what that looks like. Now this was more OTAs than rookie camp, but first day of OTAs, they had Kamari Lassiter out there, as the starting cornerback. So you can pick up on some things. And by the way, we all know they were right.
Yeah, I feel like that definitely worked out for him.
By the way, so there's a lot to that they're going to pick up on here from the rookies alone.
All right. Well, excited to see what that looks like come tomorrow. Obviously, it's a Friday, man. What a week it's been, and excited to start getting towards when these dudes actually put some work on the field. We could talk about it a little bit less in the hypothetical, get some information in.